Welcome to Season 2 of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Genevieve.
And I'm Michelle. This season's theme is change. Together, we will explore tools for coping with the ordinary and the extraordinary changes in life.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, Rochelle. It's great to see you. I'm so super excited because on today's episode, we have a very special guest. This is someone who is very near and dear to my heart. She is a very good friend. I would even call her a mentor. And she is a colleague of mine also. We work together. I want to introduce Troy Pinkney is here today to talk about her experience of using art and using art as part of a coping process for change. So Troy, welcome. Welcome to today. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself so people know who we're listening to?
Okay, so let's see. I have been involved in child life since about 1985 when I stumbled upon child life. Hadn't heard about it before, but was looking for a new job. And I saw a job that said they would be over the therapeutic recreation department and the special education program. And the title was Director of Child Life. And I'm like, okay, I've got a degree in those two areas, both therapeutic recreation and special ed. And this thing called Child Life, okay, I'm going to go for it. Got the job, then decided to go back and take some courses to get certified as a Child Life Specialist back in the day.
Wow. First of all, some of that's news to me.
I didn't know you. Yeah, I didn't even know that. Well, two decades. Okay. But yeah, that's how I got started.
Awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit about art today. And art is something that as child life specialists, we all use in our practice. We use it in different ways to create, to help children understand their illness, express their feelings, what's happening for them. Can you share a little bit about how even in your practice with children, when you were working as a child life specialist, what were some things that you liked to do with kids that involved art?
Okay, so first I want to go back a little bit. I always wanted to be an art therapist, but I got a scholarship to a college. They didn't have art therapy. They had therapeutic recreation. So that kind of puts the background. And I come from a family of artists. So that when I became a child life specialist and was working as a child life specialist at Jacoby Medical Center in the Bronx, art became a natural way of me doing projects with kids. So it would be even something as simple as we had all these puzzle pieces and that were kind of miscellaneous. I'd mix them up in a box. Okay, we're going to do some art using these puzzle pieces. Or it would be, let's create a hospital room. Let's get a box, tons of boxes in the hospital. Let's create our own hospital room or whatever it is you wanted to do. Using magazine, paint, boxes, medical equipment. So that was always a part of the practice. And it just came, I enjoyed it. The kids seemed to enjoy it. There was always miscellaneous material around, right? A hospital. And I'd say, let's use that to create art as a way of expressing ourselves, being in the hospital, a diagnosis. It just came naturally because that's something, and I'm from a family of artists, that I use as a way of expressing. So I think initially in child life practice, it was really about the kids. I wasn't, take that back. Painting jackets at that time. I forgot about that. I'm using fabric paint and that would be, and I was making dolls. So I forgot about all that. Now it's coming back to me. And would sell some things at, I would go to flea markets and have a table, forgot about that. And so it's always been a part of my life, both in and out of the hospital.
Oh my God.
That's just fascinating. Like how, like you said, like being in a family of artists, like how art has always been a part of your life and how you were able to take that and bring it to your work and share that with the kids as a way of helping them to express themselves. I think that's great that you were able to do that. Yeah. And so, and then different mediums, you're like jackets and dolls. And I think, you know, I'm like a 70s kid. So I like the whole idea of taking boxes and all these materials around you and creating a hospital, creating a scene, like totally like reminds me of things I would do as a kid. I was joking with someone the other day. I said, I remember like the encyclopedias used to get and it always had that arts and crafts section. And you would like all these different things you had around the house to build something. But it totally reminds me of that.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And I've known you so long, and this is all new information to me.
Because now I'm thinking my mother actually saved the doll I made fix. And when we were going through my father's drawer, we found a book that I had done when I was probably about four of paint. And it was in a book form that I had done. So now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I've always done it since I was little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, in some ways, it's such a natural, you know, people always want to categorize themselves as, you know, oh, I'm not really an artist. But really, we all are, right? And certainly as children, we all have that need to want to create, or to, we all look for ways to sort of share maybe what's in our minds. Like, how do I see this? And how do I get this into something concrete that someone else can kind of understand? I mean, maybe you can talk a little bit about your own process. Like, what are the materials that you like to use? What motivates you in your own artwork and what you decide to create?
I think I would say I have tons of material at home. I mean, boxes, you know, paint, pastels. I also did weaving, so I've yarn around. I have probably more supplies than I need to have. And then it's like I'll get an idea of something I want to express. And then it will be about, okay, what do I have around that can help me express what it is I'm feeling? That last one I showed you, I think it was black and white. Those were actual pictures I took during the pandemic. And then I printed them out on black and white to express kind of what's going on in the world right now. And so there's, you know, whole process behind it. And I'll show you this one because I think this kind of expresses. So this was about, and if you see at the top, I wrote resist now and the system isn't broken. It was built this way. It was really a way of expressing kind of what's going on right now. And this flower was after George Floyd had passed away, a friend sent me flowers. And, you know, I felt like I understand what the sentiment is, but it felt like funeral flowers for me. You know, they wanted to make me feel better, but I'm like, flowers after he passed away. So that was the flower, was the flower as it appeared. But in the background, I have the flowers when they died, a picture of the flowers when they died. Because I didn't, right here. So I didn't want my friend to feel bad if she saw it. But for me, it was really about how it felt for me. And the picture of Zion with a mask on with tears coming out of her eyes. It was a way of expressing what's going on in the world right now. And so that was the kind of the theory behind it. And then I have another one I did when my father passed away. I'd actually gone to a collage class at the museum. And my father's show was showing at the museum. And that was about, this one was to represent my dad. You could see the red bird cardinal signify loss. Mm-hmm. And so they all have for me, it has to be about something I'm feeling at that time and a way of expressing it. So I wouldn't say like I imagine the whole thing. It just kind of evolves. I know the feeling I want to go for. And then it is about just putting images down. So I don't really even plan it out. Like some other people plan it out. Then they paste everything down or they paint it. I kind of, as I'm feeling, whatever I'm feeling, I use whatever materials. And I make up my own way of using the materials. So I don't necessarily use, like, for example, watercolors in the way you're supposed to use it. I use it the way it comes to me to use it. I may use it straight out of the tube, as opposed to mixing it with water. So there's no set pattern for me. It's about feeling the materials and trying to express. So I'm not even thinking about it for other people. It may resonate with other people. It may not resonate with people. I might be the only one who understands it. That's fine. So I don't make it for commercial. I make it just for me. At least this, what I've been doing lately is really about what I'm feeling. I did one that was a picture of flowers. And actually, I took a picture I had taken. And then I just started tearing paper and to make the flowers. And that's one of them that sold. But I was upset that day. And the act of tearing up the paper was therapeutic for me. And so I couldn't cut, had to tear it, and made flowers. And that's one of the pieces that sold. But it was because I was upset that I was tearing it that way, as opposed to like cutting it with scissors. But I like made in my head. I never saw it before that way. The tearing, as opposed to cutting them in exact pieces, it was just tearing pieces of paper.
Oh, gosh. So powerful. I'm wondering also, do you know what the feeling is? Like, I want to show sadness. I want to show anger. I want to show, you know, grief. Or is that just as it evolves, that's what it is?
It starts out with a feeling that I want to express in some way. So the feeling is what's first. This is what's in my head. This is what I'm feeling. And then how am I going to represent it? What am I going to use? And then it just kind of comes to me. I'll just make something up in my head. Like that flower was actually tissue paper layered on tissue paper. I've never seen it done that way before. It just came. I'm like, okay, I've got this decoupage. I'm just going to keep layering it. And I know how I want it to look. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I just, okay, this thing, it just comes to my mind. I'm like, okay, let me just do this. Or, you know, I want to express a brush stroke. So then I might use a brush, or the brush doesn't work. So I'll use the end of a pencil to put the paint on the end of the pencil. And I have that, my feeling in my head first. And then it's just, what am I going to use to express that feeling on canvas?
Really? That's so interesting. And after you've done that, what's your feeling? Like, do you feel lighter? Do you feel relieved? Or
I feel like usually first it's, whoa, those are some feelings I didn't realize. I mean, I knew it was, but I didn't know the depth. So in some ways, when I look through, because we found a big drawing pad where I had done some art, I was like, at the time, I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. That's kind of deep. And some of it is just, it's not to necessarily show anybody else. I mean, when my father was alive, I would show him. But I realized by showing it to him, I was looking for approval when it wasn't the point of what it was that I was creating. And I think sometimes for my parents, if it was a sad, it was, I think, hard for them to recognize. So they like my happier stuff. But, you know, what I finally realized is it's really not about what other people think. It's what I needed. Like, so it's not in my mind, okay, I'm going to sell this, or I'm going to try to sell this, or this is going to be here. It's kind of like, this is what I need to do for me right now. And if no one sees it, because some of the stuff I even forgot. My mother found it and it's like, oh, we should have framed these. And I'm like, oh, I forgot. But maybe we shouldn't put that in the show because this girl looks like she's got some issues. So maybe shouldn't. But because this really got a little dark at the time, that's kind of what I thought. So, you know, so art for me, and using it even with kids, it really is not about the end product. It's about, how do you feel? And what can you use to create what you feel? So I don't plan it out at all. I just have a feeling and I go with the feeling. And then however it comes out, it comes out.
Yeah, I like how what you're saying, Choice, because it's not about the product. It's about the process. Being able to express yourself through your art. And also like the part you said, you know, not thinking about what other people think, and that it's about you. And I think that's so important for our listeners to think about, because I think sometimes we get so bogged in about like, well, is someone else going to think about it? Or, you know, my line isn't straight enough. Anybody who knows me, you know, we used to joke, like, I'm just not, you know, crafty or artistic or whatever people would think of art. So I used to say, I'm just the ideas woman. You know, I'm not going to draw anything, but I'll just come up with ideas. But I think that, you know, it's a way, a form of expression, and no one should be able to tell you how you should be able to express yourself. If it's a dotted line or if it's, you know, whatever it is. And that the creativity, I love how you say, like, you know, you take something and you just kind of, you know, whatever you're feeling, you kind of just put it together and then see what it becomes. Because it's just, you know, that's also like when you express yourself, you kind of see how you come out at the end of that time period or that emotion. Because we're talking about change. And I think, you know, how right now, you know, I think about me, I'm going through a transition, like moving from California and changing my life, a new job, new place, all, you know, creating new relationships. And that, like, you're going through a journey and it's like, just allow yourself to go through the journey, feel what you're going to feel. I think art could be just a beautiful way to do that if you don't put these boundaries on it and just let it be.
It sounds like what your process is, what you're describing, this kind of like, I don't really know what it's going to be. I just sort of play with the materials. To me, it sounds very similar to what Rochelle is describing, right? Like it's like the concretizing experience of what you're describing. It's like, I just got to let it happen. And in your own art, you're just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to let this happen and become what it is. Right?
Yep.
It's really thought-provoking to sort of think about, because I do think that going back to that old thing, like not doing it for other people. And I do think sometimes that we often think that art is for someone else to look at.
And like.
Right. And like, because we hang it on our walls, we post it, you know, we want other people to say, wow, that's really good. And yet when we're really thinking about this idea of like that it's an emotion on a piece of paper or whatever the materials are that you're using, that really is about how the artist is, or the person who's creating that art, is feeling in that moment, what their experience is right then and there, the process of taking that from wherever it is that it lives inside our bodies and creating it as something that is external from ourselves, and not having that be something that we're seeking approval for, but just the expression of.
I think it's learning how to let that go, this need for approval for someone else to say, oh, that's a great piece. Oh, you are so talented. That's a hard thing, because I think we're always looking for other people to say we did a good job, you know, or for people to understand what it is that we're creating. And I think that's the hard part, because I think about people who will say to me, well, I don't know how to draw a straight line, or I don't know how to. It's not about that. So we have to almost like change our way of thinking. This need for approval, right? For other people to say, well done, that we have to get out of, because everybody is creative in their own way. But we're in a society that is always looking for the next approval or the next click, or, you know, just a good job, that it's thinking very differently about what it is and who we are and how we express ourselves. So it's kind of going against what so many of us have been taught through school, through the media. It's hard to let that go and to recognize that it's even happening. That's the other piece, right? We don't always recognize that that's why we're doing what we're doing, because we're looking for approval for other people. So that's tricky. I mean, for me, I think selling those two pieces was like, oh, okay, maybe some people do get it. And isn't that great? But that's not the end goal. And I think that's the piece. Is not to get caught up in the end goal, but just the process.
Well, it's almost like someone saying, I approve of that emotion.
Right, right.
What you're describing, this whole process, is it almost feels like an out-of-body experience that you're having, right? Like that you're just sort of like, I'm experimenting with these materials to try and capture this feeling that I have to convey what I'm experiencing. And now I'm looking for somebody to tell me that it was okay that I felt this.
Right. 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 And isn't that, you know, what we are trying to teach kids, to be okay with whatever it is that you're feeling, but yet, and I think in our adult lives, we're kind of doing something different. We're kind of showing them something different. Like it's got to be for a reason. Everything we do has to have an end goal. So I think it's being aware of the ways that we are socialized and socializing children. It has to be done a certain way. It's to open up and say, this is just about you. It's not about anybody else. It's about you. And maintaining that as we get older, you know, because I find myself fighting with that from a family of artists. My mother's always, you need to do a book, or you need to do this, or this is what you should do next. And I'm constantly fighting against that to say, but that's not the way I work. You know, my art is just about expression. It's not about whether, you know, it's going to sell or be part of the book or whatever. It's just really for me.
Yeah. So interesting you say that. It's like, what happens as a child and then what happens to us as adults? Because we did an episode on play and we talked about the same thing. Like, as a kid, you play all the time. And then somehow as adults, you can't play anymore. So the same thing with art is like, you know, what if we had the innocence of doing art as children? When you're just doing it to express yourself, to have fun, and there's no expectation on what it should look like or feel like or any of that. Like, I think that's a great point that you bring up, Troy. And I think to our audience to think about, like, you know, what if I could create an art piece? Like, how can I create something and not worry about, like, do it from a beginner's mind, I guess. So it's a right. child's mind, you know, where there's none of these expectations on what it should look like or anything, but I'm just going to create whatever I'm feeling right now and whatever it will be. Because when you're a kid, you go, you draw something, you whatever you paint, you don't think about it. You're like, oh, look what I did. You're excited. But then as we get older, the, you know, the inner critic comes, or the critics of people around us changes that, where you're kind of reserved in, you know, in doing art, probably because of that reason. So I think that was a great point.
Yeah. Just really thinking about the ways in which, just really thinking about what you just said, like this idea of that, you know, as a child life specialist, we often talk about expressive arts and giving kids opportunities because they don't always have the language, the words to share, that it comes out often in behavioral outcomes. And if we give them this outlet, whether that be through movement or through art, right, or music or something, poetry, that we're asking kids to sort of, okay, find this sort of this outlet of, you know, like, you know, spattering the paint, or the dark, the colors that you choose, or the crumpling of paper, or the ripping of paper, like you described. I totally agree that ripping paper, it has a sound. It's very sensory, right? It's visual. It's a sound. The edges are jagged. It's how you feel. You feel a little raw, right? That we lose some of that as we get older. And how do we capture and keep hold of that and sort of think about that it's not, there's a difference between, maybe there's a different art and artist. I don't know.
Here, I think, is there a difference, or have we been taught that there's a difference?
Ooh.
Right? You're an artist if it's professional and you sell, as opposed to we're all artists in our own way. It's funny because I say to the students, we're all theorists in our own way.
Yeah.
Right? We all ideas about how we work with children, how we work with families. So we're all theorists. Just because we're not published and we're not Piaget or Erickson, we all have ways we think about and have created to work with children and families. So I think the same applies to art. Just because we're not a quote unquote, you know, artists who are selling and we're known about and written up in the New York Times, we're all artists. And I think it's, we lose that, or we don't lose it. It's the vocabulary, the desire to always name what something is. It's got to have a name. Why does it have to have a name to describe what it is?
Yeah.
Can it just be?
Yeah, can it just be? And I love that we're all artists. I love that. So this has been a great conversation. I mean, I think we can definitely have a part two, Troy, if you want to join us. So, you know, we like to close and ask, you know, like, what is your takeaway today? I'll start with you, Genevieve. What is your takeaway?
Me. Wow. There were so many nuggets in this that I'm still like reeling over. I'm going to say, so first of all, I think what my takeaway is really what Troy was just saying, this idea of the ways in which that we're labeling art and artists, and we all have the ability to create, right? And that we're all creative beings. And I think that's a really important piece. I also love the idea of, you know, like using materials the way that they weren't necessarily meant to be used. I like that, to create something new and unique from that process. So what about you, Troy?
Actually, I have to say, first of all, I was thinking about what am I going to do next? And I was thinking, how can I use this more creatively with my students? So I'm thinking, like, we do journals. What if we were to say, use whatever to create a journal entry instead of the normal writing down of a journal. What if you were to express your idea of what you're thinking or what you're feeling using materials, whatever you got around you?
Love it.
You know, you get them to start thinking, freeing themselves to this kind of like pattern. You know, this is the way you have to be as a child life specialist. This is how you have to use it. What if we were to say, okay, just free your mind, just do your thing, journal entry, but no words. You've got to use what's around you, crayons, markers, pen, pencil, whatever you got, paper, newspaper, whatever, as a expressing whatever you're going to put in that journal entry.
Ooh, my head is like spiraling right now from this idea.
I love this idea. We didn't guys talking about your students, but you know, I think this would be a great assignment for our audience as well.
Ooh,
you know, really, you know, we like to leave you all with something to think about and how art can be part of your coping kit during change. So I love the idea of doing a journal entry like Troy said. Thank you, Troy. We're going to steal your idea.
Can you imagine, instead of journaling, because a lot of people journal, you're going to do a visual journal, whatever you want to use, and just go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. A visual journal. So that'll be your assignment, to do a visual journal of, you know, whatever materials. And also, art could be whatever's in your house. Like Troy talked about boxes and, you know, tape and tissue, whatever you have in your house. So don't feel like you need to go out to an art store. Just, you know, allowing yourself a moment, a time, you know, give yourself time that you're going to create something, visual art piece or whatever that could look like this time around, I think would be great. And then also some people feel like they may need to be inspired or need to like a little bit more structure. So if you want to venture and take an art class or look at, you know, what other things are available to you, like Troy, you were saying how you went to a museum and you took a class on collage, like, you know, just really thinking about, you know, what is out there for you to kind of help you. Yes, Troy.
Michaels, if you go online, Michaels has online tutorials for free on YouTube on any topic you can think of that you could do. I found that to be playing around. I was like, oh, Michaels has online classes for free that you can just do at any time at home. Yeah.
And there's Michaels. They'll find us.
Maybe they will. And Rochelle, you didn't give a takeaway.
So my takeaway is, yeah, kind of what I said earlier, that kind of stuck with me, is not about what other people think. I think that stuck with me too, because I was always the one like, oh, my line isn't straight enough or something's, you know, and it's not about doing it for anyone else. It's just doing it for you. So that's my takeaway. Just really do it for you. Allow yourself to have a way to express yourself in a different way. Maybe if art is something you typically don't do, this could be a week to try it out.
Awesome. And the word is do you.
Right.
Yeah, do you.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much, Troy, for coming on today. This has been so wonderful to talk with you more about something that I know that you're super passionate about. It just comes through in the way you talk about your art and your process. And I got to learn so many new things about you. So I'm even more excited about that. So thank you so much for coming on.
You are most welcome. I have loved speaking to you all. And we've known each other for a while. And this was really cool.
It was really fun.
Right. It was fun. Thanks, Troy. I really appreciate it. Until next time, Coping Kit for Everyday Life. See you next time. Bye.